something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets, but how can I contain the truth I hold inside? With all the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hello friends, welcome back. You've tuned in to the True Stream Oasis podcast. True Stream Oasis is part of the Revelations Radio Network. You can find True Stream at truthstream.podomatic.com. You can find the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. Today is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is January 1st, New Year's Day, starting 2009. I'm actually broadcasting here at about 8 minutes past midnight Eastern Standard Time. But as many as you guys know that have been in contact with me, I just made a major move to Australia. So I'm coming to you guys from down under now. So you know, below we're in the southern hemisphere, below the equator. So. But I want to apologize to you guys for taking such a long vacation here, but if any of you guys have ever tried to make a move to a foreign country, there's a lot of preparation involved. And I got over here safely on November 12th and had been looking for a place to live, found a place here the Lord provided, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And I'm over here on a temporary visa trying to get a permanent visa. Again, as some of you guys may know that have emailed me and been in contact with me, the Lord led me to a wonderful woman. Her name is Rebecca, and she's an awesome helpmate to me. And I'm looking forward to marrying her on January 7th. So, yeah, Amos is getting married. Yeah, so... just ask you guys that that you would pray for me. I need some prayers here. You know, I'm marrying Rebecca. It's pretty much a difficult process to get a permanent visa here. I know the Lord's going to provide. There was a long line of things that needed to get done for me to get over here, and the Lord has worked them out and cleared the path, and I just want to just give Him praise and honor and glory for that. It's awesome. He's just, I mean... gosh, it's been such a long journey so far just getting over here, and there were many obstacles in the way, and through a lot of prayer and hard work, the Lord cleared the path, made it happen. And so, yeah, I arrived here on November 12th and finally got a place and getting settled in, getting unpacked, and had some time today and felt moved by the Holy Spirit to break the mic out and get back on here, you know. So here I am talking to you guys, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be back and to be sharing with you guys. Over the last couple months, I've wanted to take a different direction with True Stream. I know I've, you know, tried to stay biblically based and grounded as much as possible, but I have brought some issues to the forefront about some of the conspiracies that are going on, just some of the real things that are happening in the world. We're going through a massive time of change, which I think everybody is aware of, and they're seeing it. You know, 9/11 happened, and it made some massive world changes. We're still dealing with the ripple effects from that. And, yeah, so... and I've got a lot of opinions about that and about what 9/11 is and where we may be in Scripture, but that's been taken care of in some of the other podcasts. So for some of you guys that are just coming on board right now, you may want to go back and listen to some of the previous podcasts about 9/11, the opening of the abyss, the two witnesses revealed. I'm not trying to sit here and say I got it all down pat perfectly, but we have put some scriptures together, and I'm hoping that it provided a little bit of a clearer picture to some of you guys out there as to what might be going on. Some of these things that we talk about You know, I feel the Lord has you know, opened my eyes to some of these things, and I wanted to share them with you. I know that some of the listeners have some of the pieces of the puzzle as well. We are a body, and we need each other. We need each other. There's safety in the multitude of counsel. So with all that being said, I just want to tell you guys that I missed you, and I thank you, all of the ones that emailed me during the break. When I was offline, some of you guys emailed me and kept up with me and, you know, really encouraged me. A few of you know some of the really tough trials out there. Some of you guys out there know what I went through and trying to get over here, and you were very supportive, and I just want to give you a shout-out for that. I want to thank you for the prayers, and some of you guys actually supported me financially. And some times that were really dark, some things went wrong. I went without a vehicle for a while, and I had a couple listeners out there who really came in and helped me. And without that help, I don't know where I would have been. So I want to praise the Lord first of all, first and foremost. And I want to thank my brothers and sisters out there who supported me and kept me going. Because without that, I would have... I probably would have lost everything. It was a few key things. My vehicle at the time was my means of support. So, you know, I got behind on some things. And I'll tell you, just the Lord provided in an awesome way. It's an awesome testimony. For those of you guys who have emailed me or on the TrueStream bulletin list, the email list, you got the email of the testimony as to how everything went down. It was just incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Rebecca and I are very, very thankful for the help that we received. So I just wanted to thank you guys for that, and you guys know who you are. Today what I want to do is I want to continue the series, Justification by Faith. I did a podcast a while back, about 3 months ago or so, Justified by Faith, Galatians 1 and 2. For those of you guys who haven't heard that podcast, you may want to go back and download that and listen to it first, because it has Galatians chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 2. I want to change the focus of the podcast. I can only give you guys what I've experienced in my own life, and I went pretty much full circle with the conspiracies. You know, right after 9/11, God saved me. And I embarked on a journey of truth. It was a very difficult time in my life. A lot of adjustment. I was pretty sick when I came to the Lord. You know, I'd done some things in my life that I'm very ashamed of, and they damaged me. And the Lord is the loving and awesome shepherd that He is. He picked me up, you know, and saved me and nursed me back to health. And continues to this day to show me magnificent grace, grace that I do not deserve. And He's still working with me, as many of you guys I know can testify the same in your lives. We come to the Lord as broken sinners, and He nurses us back to health. And that's what He has done with me and is continuing to do with me. And I went through a very tough period in seeking truth, trying to sort the truth out from the lies. You wake up in the world one day and you're like, wow, things are very different than I thought they were. And I know a lot of you guys can relate to that. And it's a difficult process you go through as your eyes are being opened, as the eyes of your spiritual understanding are being opened. It's a real difficult process. It shatters a lot of things in your life, and you may go through a period of heavy disillusionment. Disillusionment to the point where maybe you're not even sure what to believe in, because we certainly are in that time where Satan and his people that follow him are letting everything out. I guess everything's so dark now that they can let it out. You know, the Bible says in the, I believe it's in the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 8 or Psalm 12, I'm not sure, I should probably look these things up ahead of time, but it says when what is vile is honored among men, the wicked strut about freely. So we're living in a very wicked climate, And now they can bring this stuff out and it won't have the shock factor that it would have. You know, I always use the situation with homosexuality. You know, homosexuality in the Bible is condemned. And, you know, so a lot of homosexuals would keep it in the closet because they felt that they would suffer shame. But when the climate got wicked enough to bring it out in the open and they wouldn't be shamed as much and it could be handled, you started seeing a lot of homosexuals coming out of the closet. And that's what's happening with a lot of wickedness in the world, that the climate of wickedness is you know, it's there. And it's dark enough to where people can come out without their clothes on and nobody notices it because nobody can see. There's no light. The light is the gospel. The light is the word. The light is the truth. And as that light gets extinguished and it's not being paid attention to by the majority, or we have Christians who don't open their mouths and speak the truth, you know, you're going to see that it gets, it's darker and darker. And people will come out and things will come out, and that's what's happened. You know, so we got a lot of this occultic stuff coming out. You know, we're just finding there have been lies in so many things, and I've gotten emails from listeners who are delving into things that are just so deep, and you can read between the lines, and you know, that Satan can attack us. You know, some people are even going so far as to think, you know, that the Bible's been messed with, and can we trust the Bible? And, you know, and we're finding out that, you know, Jesus wasn't the name of our Lord. It was a transliteration or whatever of some type, and that, you know, his name's Yeshua. So, you know, it's just one thing after another. And it's almost like we're being... it's like everything's been being defiled, you know, and corrupted, so that you don't feel like, you don't feel safe. You feel like there's no holy ground to walk on, you know, and this has led to a lot of people to try to make a change, you know, like, I want to do something different. And this has led into some people getting into these messianic movements, you know, the messianic Jews. The messianic movement is making a comeback. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't, because there's a scripture in the Old Testament where it talks about, you know, taking the two sticks and joining them and making them one in the shepherd's hand. So, but we have an enemy that knows the direction that God is going in, and he's always trying to counterfeit and trying to lead you astray. So, you know, you have a lot of movement of people into these messianic movements, getting back to the Torah and getting bound by a yoke of slavery under the Jewish customs and traditions again. And not that this is wrong. I imagine some people are going to mistake me like they did the Apostle Paul and say that, you know, I'm saying that the law isn't good. And I guess that's something that, you know, I'm going to have to deal with. But I'm not saying that the law isn't good. The law is perfect. And the law is truth, and it shows us what is right and what is wrong. But every one of these ceremonial things that was done teaches us a spiritual reality, and that's where we're supposed to be going. There were a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament that the reality is found in Christ. So we've, as believers, we've got to study the Word to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we grow up in Christ, the Lord, through each of us, gets our own measure of faith, opens our eyes in a certain order, you know, and he grows us each in a certain way. And the goal is to start understanding these spiritual realities and to grow up and to stop feeding on milk and taking everything so literally that we're not looking up and actually growing and seeing the spiritual realities of these training wheels that God gave us with the physical things in this world. So we want to grow up in Christ, and I'm on that road as well. And, you know, I've learned some things through the grace of the Lord. and I just want to share it with you guys. So, as I said, I want to stay away from the conspiracies and the occult stuff. There is a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is, and I'm going to pause this for a second because I want to share it with you. Hold on, and I will be right back. Okay, I found it. Let me share this with you guys. And I've shared this with some of the listeners who have emailed. And I think this is pretty important, and I think there's a balance. I think we need to be watchmen. I think we do need to expose things, but there is a specific way to expose things. You know, there's a particular way to expose things, and it's light. Let me start with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, and then we'll get into the meat of the podcast with Galatians, since I'm on the subject here. It says, it's Ephesians 5, verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." So we have, if we are children of light, if we belong to the Lord, we're not darkness anymore, we're light. And the light bears fruit, and the fruit of that light is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now we get into an often quoted verse, but it's Ephesians 5, verse 11. "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness." There is no fruit to darkness. Okay, it's fruitless. "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." And a lot of times we focus on the side of the verse that says expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. But we might forget to emphasize the very beginning of the verse. It says have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And what I take the balance of that verse to mean is that we're not to, you know, be all up in it, learning their language, learning all their logos, and learning all their Greek mythology and all this stuff that goes so deep it just has your head spun out at the end of it. Okay? So, we're to have nothing to do with it, but rather expose it. So, we do have the part of the verse that says we are supposed to expose it. The question is now, if we are going to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness, we know we have to have nothing to do with it, but we do have to expose it. So the question is the balance. How do we expose the fruitless deeds of darkness? Okay? The next verse is pretty powerful. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." Let me repeat that. "For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." Now that verse, I've read Ephesians many times, and as many of you know, I have the whole Bible on CD narrated by Max McLean, the Listener's Bible, and I've listened to Ephesians many times, but I started feeling uncomfortable. Even at the beginning outset of doing these conspiracies, you'll see it was, conspiracy in the Bible, seized by intrigue, disillusioned on purpose, the seeds of rebellion, the message of the podcast is be careful, guys, be careful. The reason this is all coming out on A&E and all this out, and all this flood of information about it, we want to believe that it's the Lord's work, that it's being exposed. But then when a lot of the atheists started coming out, we saw Zeitgeist show up. Like, wait a minute, then your little spiritual antenna perk up and you're like, what's going on here? Even the atheists are doing the same thing. That's what really clued me in around 2000, 2004, 2005. God started working in me when I was getting into the Alex Jones Show and I was downloading all these podcasts. And many of you guys know that I've spoke about this before. I just went through this whole process where the Lord was like pulling me out of it. And then I felt the Lord, you know, moving me in my heart. Now that you see how you got sucked into it, now you see the picture, go back in and pull people out. In other words, I was allowed to be exposed to it. It didn't kill me, sort of like a vaccination. That's where I get my vaccination theme on TrueStream. Vaccinate yourself with truth. You know? And that's where the Lord showed me there was going to be a lot of disillusionment of people in this, and that's why I started TrueStream Oasis. Was a drink of of water of the truth of the word. Like coming upon an oasis in the middle of the desert of confusion. You know? And that hopefully by God's grace, that, you know, you came upon this podcast and you're like, wow, you know, I can relate to what this guy's talking about, you know, because this stuff is horrible. And so I went through this process, but I listened to Ephesians, read Ephesians, and then this verse popped out at me. It said, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. That's why he's saying have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And those that have been involved in all this exposing the conspiracies, of which I've been a part of as well, probably, if they're like me, want to focus on that. But it says expose them. And it does. So we can't deny that. But, we have to do it the right way. We got to find the balance. Because it also says in the very next verse, it says that it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. So who are the disobedient? They're the children of Satan, the children of disobedience. Okay? So there are many, many podcasts out there that are dedicated to doing nothing but mentioning what the disobedient are doing in secret. And yet the scripture says, from Paul the Apostle's mouth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it's shameful. Mentioning all this wicked stuff they do in the Bohemian Grove, all these rituals that they do, and all the shameful things they do. It's shameful to even mention it, so I'll just let that sit there. Now, let's get to the exposing part. It goes, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. There it is. There's the word exposed, which was used in Ephesians 5:11, but rather expose them. And then he says, how you expose it, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So we are to expose with the light. Now let's ask the next question, what is the light? All of the believers that are listening to this right now know what the light is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Christ said, I am the light of the world. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ is the Word. He's the living Word. That's why thy Word is a light. And that's why Christ said, I am the light of the world. So we are to expose the darkness with the light. We don't expose the darkness with darkness. Okay, we don't take what some people call a fluoro light or a black light and expose things because it makes everything look crazy. Okay, we take the true light, which is the Word. And that's why when you saw me going through listened to my Amaro podcast, you heard me connecting it to the Old Testament scriptures where God was talking about Tyre and about the merchants of the earth and about the money system. That's why I've tried in this podcast, when I'm relating to modern things, modern day things, I'm like, you know, listen to this. God was speaking about this in the scripture. I tried to expose it with the light. So I'll just put that out there for somebody that needs to hear that. We are to expose it with the light. We speak the word. We don't need to teach people all these Greek gods and the zeitgeist stuff and, you know, astrological stuff and what's lining up and what this symbol means and what God it's tied to and all this stuff. We don't need to do that. We just speak the truth, because the truth is a light. He says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. It's the light. People who are in darkness, people who are of the children of disobedience, even they know if they would wake up. Even in the physical world, you go into a dark room, you're going to stumble around and not be able to see where you're going until you turn the light on. I've said it many times. There are physical witnesses all around us that show us that the Bible is true and that we need light. So verse 14, it says, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, for you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in their trespasses and sins. Jesus went around and said, they're not dead, they're sleeping. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You will receive the light of the gospel. The light makes everything visible, and then the eyes of your spiritual understanding will be opened, and you will be like many others who have said, I was blind, but now I see. And a whole new world of understanding will open up to you, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But it's the Word of God that does it. Okay? So this, man, I've went right on into this. I meant to do this podcast on Galatians, and it's going about 28 minutes into it already, and I'm just rambling on and on, but this is what's on my heart, what I was led to speak, so hopefully it helps somebody out there. I don't think we should be delving into the conspiracies to bring it back full circle. This is why I want to take a new direction, and many of you guys have seen the direction. You've seen me getting away. It kind of culminated in the conspiracy podcast, Disillusioned on Purpose. I'm like, I'm not linking my Christianity to the Patriot Movement. I'm not linking my Christianity to the revolution or any of this, because that's what they want to do. They want to stir people up to revolution so that they can turn around, because that's what Satan does. He accuses. He tempts you into something. Then he turns around. The very thing he was your buddy, your best friend trying to get you into doing it, then he turns around and he stands there and accuses you for the very thing that he tempted you to do. So, you know, they're in the tempting phase now of tempting people to get riled up with all this information. Oh, you're a watchman, you're doing the right thing, and, you know, and all this. And then it gets people into this revolutionary movement, this mindset, oh, we got to take back our government, we got to do this, and you know how it goes. And you know, next thing you know, they're going to point the finger at you. Look at these Christians. Look what they're doing. They're the ones that are keeping the peace. They're the ones that stirred all this up. You know, you got Bush out there saying he was a Christian, starting a war in the Middle East. And, oh, man, it just goes on and on. You know, and for those of you guys with your eyes open, you can see the plan. You can see the plan. It's an attack on Christ. It's an attack on his name. Christ said, and, you know, he said, you know, many will be offended because of my name. How are people going to be offended by Christ unless when they hear the word Christ, they got these negative neural connections to it, because they're like, oh, those Christians do all that. Those Christians are into all those conspiracies, and they're the ones that start everything up. And I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down, but there's something cooking in the kitchen. And I might not be able to open the door and see exactly what it is, but I can smell what's cooking. And I got a decent whiff of it. And I know a lot of you guys do too. So with all of these conspiracies coming out and feeling like things are corrupted and things you once believed in, oh, you found out all the truth behind Christmas, you found out the truth behind Easter, that it was Ishtar and it's rabbits and fertility, and Christmas was the winter solstice and it wasn't when Christ was born, and now it's got Santa Claus and everything. You read the Old Testament, the Lord says, this is unclean, this is clean. This is holy, this is common. This is good, this is bad, keep them separate, you know. To quote a song, you know, I think it was The Offspring, you got to keep them separated, you know. That's just And with that mentality in your heart as a Christian, it's all about sanctification. It's about knowing the difference between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. We don't like when things get mixed. So what we try to do is we try to separate from it. Where you're going to find out, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't be celebrating Christmas. Maybe I shouldn't be celebrating Easter. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And now you're searching for what you should be doing. And here comes some of these messianic Judaizer movements, you know, getting you back to the Torah and doing all this stuff. And next thing you know, we're going to be building a temple, sacrificing animals again and having the showbread and all these things were types and shadows. So this is why I'm doing this Galatians podcast, is to show you that Christ came and fulfilled this, and to not be frightened when you hear the law thinking, oh, I got to be doing this, or else, you know, I'm not going to be saved. Because no one will be justified before the Lord by the law. We're not saying the law should be abolished. We're not saying anything of that nature. All we're saying is that nobody's going to get any justification from their works of observing the law. You will get no justification from it. That's the hammer. You're not going to be justified in front of the Lord by your works. And we can go into James and we can talk about, and probably will, I'll probably flip over to James, because James has an interesting section where he balances works and faith. And he says, you know, faith without works is dead. But, you know, works alone won't save you. So I'll show you my faith by my works. And Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't say Abraham did this and he was righteous. It says Abraham believed and then God credited righteousness to his account. So justification comes through faith. So I'm going to try to take a different direction with the podcast. I've got a new location. Like I said, I'm coming to you from Australia now and got a new start. So we're going to take a different direction with the podcast. I'm not sure how often the Spirit's going to hit me to do the podcast. So sometimes there might be podcasts every 2 days, every 4 days. Sometimes it might go a week, 2 weeks, who knows. But I don't want to get on here and force it and say, oh, you know, I've got to do something. Because it's important to feed the Lord's sheep. But I don't want to be feeding them junk just because if I can't find some real bread, you know, I'm not going to go to McDonald's and say, well, I got to feed them. So I go buy a bunch of chicken nuggets and just chuck them out at, you know, and it's going to make you sick and it's not healthy. So you know what I'm saying? Like, I only want to bring you something that I feel it really comes from the Lord. We're going to, for those of you guys who have not listen to the other podcast, Justified by Faith, Galatians chapter 1 and 2. I would recommend that you go back and maybe listen to that one first, or if you want to, because it does build. In Galatians chapter 1, well, hold on a second. Let's pray here and ask the Lord for some guidance since we're getting into His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day, and I thank you for another opportunity to share your word. Please help me to be faithful, Lord. I understand that teaching is an important thing and that it's huge. So just ask for your guidance, for your Holy Spirit, and I just thank you most of all for your sacrifice and for your salvation, without which none of us would have peace with you, Lord. So just thank you for your word. I thank you for rescuing us out of our darkness, just wandering around in the darkness doing just useless, empty things that our forefathers handed down to us. Just thank you for rescuing us from this present evil age, and you've delivered us from such a deadly peril. We probably won't realize it one day until we actually are in the full light and we look back and say, wow, what was that? What was that we were in? It was just confusion, just endless confusion. So I just want to thank you, Lord. I pray that you will bless the listeners, open the eyes of their understanding as you open mine, and just forgive us our sins, Lord. Help us to forgive others and bless us with your love, that we might truly live and just know that it's all about faith expressing itself through love. So, Lord, just thank you so much. and just pray for your blessing, and pray that you would watch over the listeners and all of our brothers and sisters all over the world as we're dealing with these end times, Lord. Just watch over us. And thank you for all of this. In Christ's precious name, amen. Okay, so let's go. Let's get back and look at Galatians. We'll just do a quick review of Galatians 1 and 2. Galatians 1 was Paul writing the letter to the church at Galatia, and he was talking about, you know, he was astonished that they were so quickly deserting the freedom and the grace of Christ. Evidently, somebody was throwing them into confusion, trying to bring them back under a yoke of slavery, saying, you got to do this, you got to be circumcised, you got to follow this custom, you got to do that. And that takes you out of freedom and puts you under bondage of slavery and gets you into legalism again, which takes you out of justification because you're not justified by works of the law. So he started off, you know, writing that to them. And then he went into to his story about how he persecuted the church. He was advancing in Judaism. And then how he saw the light and then immediately went into Arabia. Then he went up to Jerusalem, got acquainted with Peter. So it was all this about where he came from and how he came to the Lord and how he was shown grace. And then in chapter 2, was talking, this was the whole thing where he was talking about judging by external appearance, and it was the whole thing with Peter, where he rebuked Peter because Peter was eating with the Gentiles and exercising his freedom in Christ, but then the Judaizers and those of the circumcision group came in, and, you know, he didn't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ, that it was Christ's work, and that he had this freedom. He knew that they were going to say, but you got to do this, this, and this, and you're probably not saved if you don't do this, this, and this. And he just didn't want to deal with the persecution, leaving it all weighing on the cross, on Christ's work. So he didn't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So, you know, he started drawing back, and then, you know, when that happened, he said even Barnabas was led astray, and Paul had to rebuke them for the hypocrisy. And then he talked about being justified in Christ and how we're justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And it talked about having the, if righteousness, this is a powerful verse, Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So that's where we left it off. What we're going to do now is we're going to start on Galatians 3, approximately 42 minutes into the podcast, just getting started on the teaching. So I may only be able to go through Galatians chapter 3 on this podcast, but it's good to be back, by the way. How you guys doing? Yeah, it's been a while. So, you know, I did want to give you guys that word in the beginning. So, we might just do Galatians chapter 3 today and try to keep this a little short here, at least at a decent time limit. Starting out with Galatians 3, verse 1, it says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." He says, "You foolish Galatians," it's foolish. He's saying, "You're being foolish. Who has bewitched you?" Now, on this, I want to put a little connect back to another podcast for some of you guys who haven't listened to the language of deception and how bewitching and sorcery and how, you know, you can literally, how you tie language in with sorcery and confusion and bewitching people. There were people there trying to just get the Galatians back into the Judaizing, you know, back under the law, back under the yoke of slavery. And Paul called it being bewitched. He's like, you're literally being bewitched with confusion. You're listening to these people, and they're pulling you back in. And he goes in. I love how Paul sets up his letters. He starts, it's like he's building a building of understanding with every book. He sets a foundation in the beginning of the book, and then he puts brick on brick on brick, stone upon stone, until by the end of the book, you have a whole house of understanding of exactly what he was trying to say. And he does it very carefully, step by step. Unlike some of us who just ramble on and put stones haphazardly, Paul's being led here by the Holy Spirit perfectly. And it's just one stone upon another that's just, it's amazing how God just works through him and teaches. It says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you." He's put it all down to one thing. He's saying, if I need to know one thing, this is what I'd really like to know. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law, by doing some works, and then all of a sudden you did enough works and bam, you received the Spirit? Or did you receive, when you received the Holy Spirit, was it right after you believed what you heard? And for those of you that read Acts, you know, the book of Acts, you know that it was after they believed. Because we're justified and receive the Spirit through faith, not through works. Verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Are you that foolish? That after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" We can't do anything with our human effort. You know, that's why I talk about sometimes people going up in a church and responding to an altar call under emotionalism, and it's not Spirit-led, it's emotional-led. They go and they're told to say this prayer, repeat after the preacher, and then they say that, and they walk out of the church, and they fall flat on their face, and then they kick Christianity to the curb because they say it doesn't work. Because you cannot live the Christian life on human effort. Our flesh is corrupt. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We fail. That's why Paul, I think, in Romans 6 talked about, you know, there's things I want to do, you know, that are righteous. He's like, I can't do it. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing that. The flesh, you cannot do it by human effort. The law was given to us to show us that human effort would not cut it. So he's saying, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now, I guess, through the bewitching speech of whoever was coming and talking to him, of the circumcision group, he's like, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now being led into trying to attain your goal by human effort? And he says, have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, all these things you suffered, was it all for nothing? Now, I've been trying to think about what they suffered. Was that the work of the Spirit in their lives, convicting them? And you know, the Father says that Christ learned obedience through suffering. So maybe the Spirit was working with them, and they went through some suffering that God allowed so that they could grow. And he's saying, have you suffered so much for nothing with the Spirit, if it really was for nothing, that now you're not letting the Spirit do its work, you're just going to take over and do it by yourself and try to do all these customs and rituals and ceremonial things and you know, you're going to do it yourself? He said in verse 5, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? Or because you believe what you heard, which is the same thing. He's repeating himself. A teacher repeats himself because repetition imprints to the point where people remember and learn. Because he said up there, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And he says it again in a different way. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? He's saying, is any of this stuff happening because you observe the law? Is the work of the Spirit in your life happening because you observe the law or because you believed? Now he goes into, Paul was you know, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Talks about that. He says, you know, he was circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He was, you know, according to the law, faultless. He was a Pharisee, so he was taught by Gamaliel, so we know that he's really steeped in knowledge of the Old Testament. And it wasn't until God gave him the Holy Spirit that illuminated the meaning of all that. Now, he always goes back to the Old Testament and illuminates something for our understanding. So he's going back to Genesis. It says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We spoke about that earlier, that Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. You remember when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah? God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham's sitting there thinking, you know, okay, you promised me that Israel and my descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore and all this, and you told me it was going to come through the promised son Isaac. But all right, so he believed God, and when he went up there, he literally was about ready to plunge the knife in, and God sent an angel and provided a ram, which is a picture of Christ. But then he's like, now I know you fear me. You believed me. And that was credited to him as righteousness because he believed God. And through his belief, his works came. He did what he did because he believed. It wasn't like, I'm going to do this to gain favor. It was like, I just believe, and this is what you do when you believe. It was just a natural extension of it. So it was faith-based action, faith-based works, not yeast-based works. Okay? He said he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 7, Galatians 3, verse 7. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. So now you have to think, the law hadn't come when Abraham was alive. The law came with Moses. So at this time, the law wasn't even given. And yet, the gospel was announced in advance to Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. All nations will be blessed through you. Verse 9. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham was the man of faith. Do you remember? Abraham received the sign of circumcision after he proved that he had faith. He didn't get circumcised and then became one of God's children. It wasn't like, oh, I can just get circumcised and I belong to the Lord. Circumcision was a sign. It was a seal. It was like, okay, your faith has been tested. You went through. There's your circumcision. That's a sign and a seal of your faith. He was the man of faith. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3:10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. If you are relying on observing the law, you're under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. If you don't do everything written in the book of the law, because the law is one piece, because the God who said thou shalt not commit adultery also said thou shalt not steal. So the law is just one complete unit. You break one part of the law, it's like a ruler. And a ruler is a standard of measurement. Okay? You take, just picture like a glass ruler. You got a glass ruler. You break the law. You broke the ruler. It's broke. Okay? It's not one anymore. You broke it. So you have to do everything in the book of the law to keep that glass ruler together. You break it, it's broken. And there's no way to glue it back, because it's still got a crack in it, you know. It was broken. It's just artificially put back together. So cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So those, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse, because you know that nobody can keep the law perfectly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one's able to keep the law perfectly, even the Lord Yahweh, holy is his name, said that in the Old Testament. So, Paul says in Galatians 3:11, stay with me here. Let this sink in. Clearly, see clearly with the eyes of your spiritual understanding. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. That's the hammer. No one is justified before God by observing the law. No one. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. That faith's not even yours. It is the gift of God. Even the gift of faith is a gift from God. You can't even brag about your own faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Because it's all about humility. Because when you're proud, it's like yeast. Yeast, what does yeast do to dough? It puffs you up. You don't have any more dough, it's just air there, making you look bigger than you really are. And sometimes, you know, the Lord's got to allow Satan to sift you a little bit. The serpent comes along with those two fangs and pop. It's like we do in a pizza oven with a fork. Pop that bubble and it flattens back out. It's all about humility. No one will be justified before God by the law. No yeast. The righteous will live by faith. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from that curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He took our place. Substitution. He took our place. He took your place. Whoever's listening, he took your place. He took my place. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And Christ was hung on a tree, and he became a curse for us. I can't even imagine the holy God becoming a curse for us. That must have been the most disgusting feeling in the entire world, bearing the sin. Because we see in the Old Testament how he's always like, he hates. He's like, you are to detest this, you are to detest that. And God detests sin. He redeemed us, verse 14. He redeemed us in order so that something could take place. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Just like Isaac was born as a result of a promise, Christ says you must be born again. We receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Just like Abraham received the promise of Isaac through faith. Okay? We believe God. See, we lost that belief in the garden. When Adam and Eve bit into that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they learned how to doubt. And that's why Christ came and said, faith, faith, faith. God is trying to get us back to where we just listen to him and we believe him and take him at his word. We were safe in the garden when we just listened and obeyed and didn't think nothing of it. We didn't know how to doubt. And then Satan comes along and says, well, it's the tool of doubt that sets you free. Because you just do everything he says, and you don't know any different. And that's how he's controlling you. If you now to doubt, and you start thinking about it on your own, you can make up your own thing, and then you'll see that God's really got you under control. When what Satan was doing was twisting around and actually taking you into slavery. Because true freedom is listening to God. Because God created the universe, God's righteous. He gives us righteous laws that flow into all the blessings. It's God's universe. Of course, the owner of the universe is going to do everything perfectly and give us joy and blessings. But Satan had to come in. It was the only way he could get control. So that's what happened. We're preaching faith. We're preaching believe God. It says, brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant or agreement that has been duly established. You can't add anything, you can't take anything away. It's written, it's signed, it's done. So it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say "and to seeds," plural, meaning many people, but "and to your seed." The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, one seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. So the promises were spoken to Abraham and to Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later, the law was introduced 430 years after Abraham, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God. So there was a covenant made with Abraham before the law. This is something I want to press in on you, because when this hit me, I was like, yeah, words. I'm listening to the Bible, whatever. Let that hit you. There was a covenant with Abraham before the law was introduced by Moses. So he says, what I mean is this: the law, which was introduced 430 years later by Moses, does not set aside the covenant previously established. Because he says in the verse before, in verse 15, he says, just as no one can set aside, take away, or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. Can't change the covenant. So the original covenant was the gospel through faith. Okay? So he says, what I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. It's always been based on a promise. Verse 18, for if the inheritance depends on the law. If it's sitting there saying, just picture a guy there named Inheritance, and he's like, oh, I can't do anything, I'm so dependent on the law. You know? If the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. It can't be both. It can't be dependent, you know, the inheritance that we get can't be dependent on the law and dependent on a promise. It's one or the other. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. And we know that because it's written. He promised Abraham that all the nations would be blessed through him. What then was the purpose of the law? This is what we always come around. And Paul's, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is a great teacher, because he knows what you're going to think next. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. It was added because of transgressions. There was so much transgression that the law was added to make people aware. Look what you're doing. And then they had to do the sacrifices. The guy was teaching the little children of Israel. They might have been what we term as adults, but they were still children in their understanding, and he was giving them training wheels by the temple, you know, the sacrifices, and exactly how they were supposed to do everything. It was all pointing to Christ. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator is someone who is in between two parties and mediates it, and that was Moses. Moses was a type of Christ. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not! Exclamation point. Is the law, can it be the enemy of the promises? No, they work together. And Paul will show this later on. Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, if by the law we could obey the law and then gain eternal life through obeying the law, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. Obviously. Verse 22, but the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. You cannot get out of your jail cell of sin. You must keep on sinning because you are a prisoner of sin. You will serve sin. You are its slave. But the scripture declares that the whole world, that means you, me, you, everybody, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. But the scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed, and Christ revealed faith. We were held prisoners by the law. Paul talks about in another portion of Scripture, I think it's in Romans, and we might go through Romans, that the law actually increases sin, because it's just, it's like, by the law, sin took advantage of it and saw the opportunity and increased. Because sin, sinful flesh, when it's told to do something, immediately it stirs itself up and wants to do what it's not supposed to. You tell a child to sit down, immediately they want to stand up. Tell them to stand up, they want to sit down. It's the corrupt, sinful nature. Okay? So, it says, before this faith came, verse 23, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. Verse 24, so the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. So the law was put in charge like a guardian or a tutor to lead us to Christ, to show us all the temple rituals and stuff that have spiritual realities in Christ. The law was there to teach us, you know, that we sinned, we couldn't keep the law, so we needed a rescuer, we needed a redeemer. It was all funneling us, tutoring us, opening our understanding to need our Messiah. Verse 25, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. It's not to be an outside, forceful thing. We walk by the Spirit. And we were given the Spirit of God's Son because we are to be sons of the living God. So He took the Spirit of His Son, the perfect Son, the perfect example of what He wants in a perfect Son, and He gave us the example through the body of Christ walking on the earth. Okay, Christ walked the earth with the Spirit, as I've said in the Trinity podcast, you know, God is one. That Emmanuel, God with us, arguments commence if you want to argue, but it was the Spirit of God that dwelt in the body that was walking around the temple. And He gave us the example of a perfect Son. And He sent His Spirit, the Spirit of a perfect Son, the Holy Spirit, gave us that Spirit in our hearts so that we could be conformed to that image and be perfect sons as well. And it happens through faith. We're not under the supervision of the law anymore. We're under the supervision of the Spirit. But a supervision is actually coming from our hearts as desire. It's not forced. It's Jesus said, you guys clean the outside of the cup with the law, but the inside remains dirty. You're just forcing the cleanliness of the outside while the inside stays dirty. He's like, first clean the inside of the cup and then the outside will be clean also. Because what happens is, when the Spirit comes in and it does a work in your heart, immediately it works inside out. Immediately you're going to start cleaning up because your desires are different. So now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Our bodies are a clothing for our spirit. Okay? And now we're clothed with Christ. Our spirit is clothed. Our outer man is supposed to walk around and do the things that Christ did. powered by the Spirit. We're clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We all have the mind of Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You see how he ties that back in? He said it was one seed, and how in Christ we are all one. So if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you do receive the promise, and your heirs according to the promise in Christ. So that ends the teaching of Galatians chapter 3. So the question before us is, are you in Christ? Don't look at your works. Don't look at anything. Just look at yourself in the light of Scripture. Let the light expose what you really are. Come into the light and have peace with God through Christ, through that sacrifice. If you feel the Spirit of God convicting your heart today, call out to Him. Call out to Him verbally. Like the publican that came up to the temple. Have mercy on me, Lord. I am a sinner. Don't say it like some magical prayer. Don't turn a real prayer into a work either. If it's a desire in your heart and you feel the Spirit moving in you and you feel compelled and God is shining the light on your heart, then call out to Him in response to the Spirit's work in your heart. Call out to Him. Today is the day of salvation. We are like ambassadors from the Lord, pleading with the world to make peace with God before His wrath and judgment comes. Have peace with God through Yeshua, the Christ. He came down to break down that middle partition that was keeping us at enmity with God, which is our sin, to be a propitiation, a substitute, to become a curse for us and make that exchange. And that's done through the Spirit. And I can't put the Spirit on you. It's only through a move of God. Ask Him for His Holy Spirit. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to change your life, no matter where you are in the world. If you're in Beijing, China, if you're in Germany, if you're in Italy, if you're in South Africa, if you're in Denmark, Sweden, if you're in Britain, Ireland, Dublin, if you're anywhere in the United States, if you're in Canada, if you're in Ontario, Quebec, if you're in Greenland, if you're in New Zealand, if you're in Australia, if you're at the South Pole and you have internet access, no matter where you are, you can call out to the living God and make peace to Him through Christ. Peace with Him through Christ. That's the message. The days are evil. The darkness is coming. Morning is coming, but also the night. Morning is breaking for those who believe. None of us are ready for this. None of us. The Bible says that the end is a distressful time unlike anybody has ever experienced. None of us are ready for this. We're all going into it. We're all reliant on the Holy Spirit. No matter how much we want to sit here and brag and bold and we're ready, don't be a Peter. Don't say, I'll go to the death with you, Lord, and then the Lord's going to look at Satan's ass to sift you. None of us are ready. We all need the Lord. We're all going into this. A lot of us, especially the ones that came from America, are pampered. And these are going to be difficult times, and there's going to be deception afoot. And only those, because things are going to have a seeming religiosity to it. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end still leads to death. There is a way to walk in freedom, and Satan is all about extremes. If you're getting the message of God's grace, he's going to try to push you extremely into grace, where you're using it as a license to sin. If you have a propensity to feel like, you know, I want to do something for the Lord, he's going to push you into works, into legalism. He doesn't want you to find the balance. The narrow path is in the middle. And if you go too far to the right or too far to the left, you're going to be trespassing on the enemy's territory. Okay? Stay on the narrow path, and only the Lord can lead you on that narrow path. I struggle every day. I screw up a lot. I'm with you guys. But there's nothing I can do except be led by the Spirit. Every good work in me is wrought through Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit. I struggle every single day just like you guys. Okay? This world is terrible. I get depressed. I get down. You know? I want to try to escape from it with all the various little methods, being distracted by Babylon and all the little things. I fall prey to it as well. But there's the Word, and the Word keeps us straight. And thank God, because the law kills. The law slays. The law just says you're wrong. It kills your hope. Every day you get up, if all you had was the law, you'd lose hope. Because hope is what keeps you going. You're like, I hope that there's something good ahead, so I will persevere until that takes place. The law says, nope, you're dead. Why even try? You broke the law. You're going to hell. It's Christ that gives us hope. And then His Spirit works in us. We wake up every day saying, I'm forgiven. Now, with that freedom, what can I do to take baby steps to please my Father and give Him pleasure? Find out what it is that pleases the Lord and do it. Work on it. You have freedom. Let that joy come up in your heart, that grace. Amazing grace. Let the joy bubble up in your heart out of thankfulness to God that you can live, that you're not being slayed by the law every day. And now with that freedom, express that freedom. Express it through love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. He abounds in mercy. Reach out to Him, okay? I'm going to end the podcast there. It was wonderful to be back on the mic and to be sharing some bread with you guys, and I look forward to doing it again. Hopefully it won't be so long this time, but I love you all, and shoot me an email. My email address is epiphos@hotmail.com. That's E-P-I-P-H-O-S. epiphos@hotmail.com or epiphos@gmail.com. You can find, once again, the True Stream podcast at truestream.podomatic.com, and you can find the True Stream podcast at revelationsradionetwork.com as well. I love all you guys, and thanks for sticking with me, and hopefully this podcast blessed your hearts and hit the spot for what you needed to hear. We're in a battle. The world's turning into to just circumcise. Run here, run there. Everything's defiled. We have freedom. We got to stay inside the mind of Christ. Shield ourselves, okay, with the helmet of salvation and the armor of God, because we have been bought and paid for with a price. And Christ is our hero. He is our rescuer, and He will rescue us. So with that, I am going to sign off. And if I don't see you guys on this side, I definitely hope to see you guys on the other side.
I've watched you stumble through the valley. I've seen every tear you've shed. And though it seems that no one cares what you are facing, I'm here and I will be your friend. When every silver cloud is raining and it seems all hope is lost, the sea that bars your way is raging. I lay my body down to help you walk across. And I know it's not fair how you're hurting. I hope my love will give you strength. You must feel.
Spirit, hear.